good morning. We want to welcome everybody this morning. We are so glad that you are with us on this second Sunday in Advent, and we give thanks to the Lord for all of His blessings in our lives, and we've gathered together to worship the Lord and join together with the lighting of our second candle this morning, and a little bit later on, and maybe this is real for you, what tensions do you face during the holidays? So let's begin our service and let's stand and join together and sing our Gloria Patria.
Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the
Well, let's join together there for our call to worship in the bulletin. Lift up your voices and do not be afraid.
This is how God will come in love, faithfulness, righteousness, and
peace. Peace needs a highway.
Even as we wait, we will make a way for God's peace in our hearts and in our world.
Let's do that this morning. Let's join together if you want to turn to hymn number 137. Hark the herald angels sing, or you can follow along on the PowerPoint this morning. All three verses.
Hark the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King, peace on earth and mercy. God and sinners reconcile. Joyful, O ye nations, rise. Join the triumph of the sky. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold Him come, offspring of the Virgin's womb. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate. Jesus, our Emmanuel, hark, the herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. Hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all He brings, risen with Him. From heaven's all gracious King, shall come the time foretold, when the new heavens and earth shall hold the Prince of Peace shall rise, and whole world send back the song which now the angels sing.
Well, I'm going to invite our kids to come forward if they would make their way today. We just have one?
I think we do.
Yes. It's just you and I. Oh, man. Huh? Oh, some of them's got practice? Oh, okay. Yeah, they do. All right. Yeah. So what did you think? Have you ever heard that last song we sang? You know what that song's about? It's about the angels singing when Jesus was born to the shepherds out in the fields. Now, what would they be singing about? They sing about God's glory, but you know what else they sing about? Peace on earth. Wow, peace. What does peace mean? That will work. Peace, yes. Yes, it will. Peace. That means this inner stillness that God gives us in our hearts when everything around us is chaotic and tense and crazy that's going on. I don't know about you, but it's kind of nice to have some peace, some calm, some assurance when everything else is going on crazy around us. And that's what Jesus gives us. Because if we hold on to Jesus, He can give us that peace in the midst of everything that's chaotic in the world. Have you ever had a chaotic day? Guess what? I just had a chaotic morning here at church. Nothing's going right! But you know what? I have peace. Because there's a reason that God may want to say something to us this morning about the peace that we need when everything's kind of crazy and chaotic. Hold on to Jesus. We're holding on to peace. Can you say that with me? Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to peace. Okay, you can go on down the stairs this morning. Yes. And maybe that's for our adults that are here this morning too, which I will be talking about after a while. When life gets chaotic and crazy, we have some options. We can hold on to Jesus. We can go to prayer. We can hold on to those things that the Lord has given us during this season and beyond. Well, that brings us then to our time of prayer, and maybe some of you do have concerns, tensions, whatever else it may be, chaos, that you may need to bring to the Lord this morning. For some of you, you may speak words out for people that you want prayer for. For others, you may not be able to talk about it, but just give it to Jesus today and hold on to Him, because He has that peace for us in this time. Joys or concerns, what do you need to share this morning?
Unspoken
this morning. Unspoken. Someone else this morning. Yes.
I have two unspoken.
Okay, two unspoken this morning. God knows. Yes.
Carol Wilder's son-in-law, Ian, has been transferred from the hospital, which is Baxter Bridge Rehab, at Miami Valley, and he was able to walk 30 steps yesterday, so that was fantastic. And we have Linda Everett, because she's been sick with this stuff. And then I children's hospital is absolutely full. Today, our family does the 150 bags that they give at Christmas to every child that's there for a baby memory. But the hospital called and they wanted 250 bags because they're full. So I'm just praying these kids don't get this stuff that's happening.
Yeah, and you know what? I have heard, you're talking about children's, I've heard about other hospitals that are full with a lot of sick people. And yes, stuff's going around a lot right now. Somebody else this morning. Somebody else. Okay, unspoken this morning. And then I saw, well, I got a couple other hands. What's that? Okay, want to continue praying for healing and recovery for Chris, and yes.
We found out that our cousin, John Better, he was in our wedding 56 years ago, but we found out he had been ill for 3 months, and we didn't know what it was, and they finally found out he has ALS.
You may want to fill out a paper on that one, and so we can get him on the monthly. Yeah, yes, wow. Definitely want to pray for Don with ALS. And I didn't mention, for those that might be listening, Ian, as he's recovering, and Linda, who is battling sick this morning, too. So some others. Anybody else this morning? Yes.
Prayers for Priscilla and Barney.
Yes. And I was hoping Barney said he'd probably be here this morning, but it must not have. But I know Priscilla is recovering. She's had cataract surgery, and so she's going to be a little while before she can drive. Barney had pulled a muscle or something and close to his vertebrae in his back. I talked with him this week. He said he was feeling much better and was hoping to be able to be here today, but we never know about that, so we definitely want to keep them in our prayers this morning. Somebody else? Yeah.
Joy, we finished harvest.
Yes, I know, and I thought of you guys a couple times this week because we kept getting that rain, and I was like, oh, man, you know, so.
We're also going to take a little trip, so traveling.
That's good. Well, we can do that. We know some people that traveling. And we want to remember, you want to share or you want me to go ahead and read some of them? Emily and Daniel both have COVID, and so we want to remember them this morning. And a little CASA girl that on the case, and pray for God's touch of love and grace for that that young girl. How old did you say she was? 13, yes. And those are some tough times. In a 13-year-old, and definitely want to lift her up this morning. Anybody else this morning? Yes.
Last Sunday, I don't know if nobody mentioned it, but it was Bill Sharpe's 90th birthday.
Yes, I know. I was told about that, but I knew I was going to forget. So if you ever tell me before the service to say something, might as well chuck that up. You better get up there and say something. But yeah, so we as happy birthday. I did say happy birthday to him as he was leaving. And but yes, 90 years. So what a blessing there. Yeah.
I want to thank you brave people that came by the house last Sunday evening. The weather just simply wonderful. But I really appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Yeah, if you don't know, he's referring to those crazy people that went out and caroled in that cold, windy weather last Sunday evening. So, but yes, yeah, we did that for our shut-ins and some in the nursing homes there. And so, anybody else?
That was a joy for me, too.
Yes.
She was to go home the next day, but they took her straight to the airport, and she was the last one on the plane to get home.
Wow.
Thank God she was okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. That was definitely, yes. Yeah, that was a joy, yes. But you know what? Mentioning that, UNLV, we need to remember, because there were some that were killed. And yes, and we definitely need to pray. We need to continue to pray for peace in people's hearts. That was a very unique, disgruntled professor that didn't get a job that he was looking for. And very sad, very sad. And there's people out there that really need God's peace in their hearts. And somebody else, anybody else before we go to prayer this morning? I appreciate your prayers for Jody. Thursday night, she started to not feel very good up in here. By Friday morning when she woke, she had a severe earache. She went to the after hours on Saturday, and the doctor said, your throat is red, your ear is red, and she couldn't even lay down to sleep at night. And I was hunting numbing drops to put in her ears, and but she's been in a lot of pain, and appreciate your prayers for her. And one of those things that's going around, I know I remember when Rhea there for what was it, a couple weeks, she couldn't hear out of both of her ears, and Jody can't hear out of that one ear. And appreciate your prayers for her. And so there's lots of names that were listed there. And some of our others, I think Bonnie next week will be finding out the results, or I mean, we'll be finding out what, yeah, sorry, this week, yeah, of what the plan is. She sees the doctor and the surgeon. We want to continue praying for Sharon, and we want to pray for Harry Caulfield, which is Dex's dad, who is, they're going to be doing surgery. I think it's this is 10th. I think it's the 13th. They're going to be dealing with an embolism in his down by his legs there, and doing surgery there. And appreciate your prayers for him. I know Dex and Carrie are gone, and then we already mentioned Barney, and as he's recovering from that in his back. So as she plays, I'll give you a few moments there to pray and give whatever you need to give to Jesus today. And I will come and close us out then. As we pause this morning, we thank you for your peace that passes all understanding, that is able to guard our hearts and minds, that inner part of us. The world around us may be chaotic. There, we may be facing things in our lives that we have no control over, but your peace today is with us, in us, beckoning us to trust and to depend on you in the midst of whatever we're facing today. And Lord, we think about so many that have been mentioned today that are specifically facing different things. Lord, we pray for Ian, Lord, who needs your continued healing strength as he is recovering. For Linda and Jody and maybe others that are facing illness and sickness right now and couldn't be here today, God, we pray for your healing touch, your healing grace. We lift up the doctors and the staff and the nurses and all of them working in the hospital with so many of them, with so many sick and ill and struggling. And even in our school systems, Lord, we're hearing stories about schools that had to cancel school because of so many that are sick because of the illness going around. We pray for your healing grace and your touch and for strength in those situations. We pray for Chris, your continued healing and recovery for his body. Lord, we pray for Don, Lord, and with his diagnosis of ALS, God, we just ask for faith and strength in this time, God, for your healing touch there today. We think of Priscilla and Barney, God, for your healing touch and strength for them. We think of Emily and Daniel and others that I've heard stories about that are battling COVID, God. We ask for your healing touch and strength for each of them. We pray for this young girl with CASA that Carla is going to be working with. God, we pray for your touch upon her, your love, your grace, your peace for her life today. Use Carla to be an encouragement to her during this time in her life. Lord, we think about those on the UNLV campus, those that lost their lives. God, we pray for comfort for family, for peace today, and for students, Lord, that may be scared and fear has taken over in their hearts and minds because of that situation. God, we pray for peace for them today. And Lord, we lift up Sharon to you, God, asking your continued healing touch and strength. We lift up Bonnie today, Lord. We're just praying for wisdom and guidance as she's meeting with the surgeon and a plan of how to deal with that issue, that little tumor there. Lord, we just pray that they'll be able to take care of that and get that taken care of, Lord. And we ask for your guidance there. We pray for Harry, Dex's dad, who's going in for surgery this week. We just ask that you will guide the surgeons as they fix that embolism and that your hand will be upon him and that you would grant your healing touch and strength and guidance there. And Lord, we lift up these four unspoken needs today and maybe others today that have come in and just need your peace, your touch, your grace, whatever it may be, God. You know the needs there, and we just ask that you would work in only that way that you can, Lord, and that you can make a way where there seems to be no way, and that you can work and in situations that sometimes we have no control over. And God, we just pray for your grace and your peace today. Lord, thank you for this time together that we can worship. Thank you that we can experience your peace today because your presence is with us. And we look to you for that. And Lord, I pray your blessing upon this, the rest of this time. As we share the word today, may it meet needs in our lives and encourage us and build faith. And we thank you for that. And Lord, I pray for those that are traveling that you will be with them and watch over them and bring them back to be safe with us once again. And those that will be traveling in the next few weeks during the holidays, specifically around the Christmas time here. That you will keep them all safe as they're traveling, Lord. And we thank you for all of these things. We are so grateful, Lord, for everything in our lives. As we ask it now in the name of Jesus, our Savior, the one who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Hear our prayers, O Lord. Incline thine ear to us and grant us thy peace. Amen. Thank you for praying with us this morning. And now we have the opportunity to worship the Lord with our giving. And we want to say thank you again for your faithfulness. And I'm going to share this, if you don't mind, I guess it was really Rhea that told me. Rhea said she got a call from somebody in the community this week that said that they would like to give a donations to our missions funds because they've been hearing stories in the community about what our church has been up to. I don't know about yes, that is a wonderful thing. And yes, amen, amen. You know, Jesus said that they would see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And we do give God praise today for that. Boy, that made my heart just sing, I'll tell you what. So thank you and God bless you as you give today as our ushers come. Let's join together for our prayer of dedication there in the bulletin. Giver of the most precious, we give you thanks by our giving. Use our gifts to bring hope and peace in the darkness. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. Our scripture reading this morning are coming from two passages, very familiar ones that we often read around the Advent season. It's kind of nice because I'm kind of going off a little bit of the lectionary readings, and I'm getting to read some passages that are normally close to Christmas and Christmas Eve that I don't usually get to preach on. We read them, but I don't usually get to. And so first of all, we're looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 22, and then the more familiar one that we will read on Christmas Eve, and that's Luke chapter 2, and I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 14 this morning. The birth of Jesus the Messiah took place as follows. When his mother Mary was betrothed to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found to be pregnant from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being righteous and not wanting to disgrace her, decided to let her go privately. But while he was considering these things, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for what is begotten in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." And then Luke chapter 2, we're going to be reading verses 4. Well, I guess it's 1 through 14 there. In those days, Caesar Augustus declared that everyone throughout the empire should be enrolled in the tax list. This first enrollment occurred when Quirinius governed Syria. Everyone went to their own cities to be enrolled. Since Joseph belonged to David's house and family line, he went up to the city of Nazareth in Galilee to David's city called Bethlehem in Judea. He went to be enrolled together with Mary, who was his betrothed and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for Mary to have her baby. She gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him snugly, and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no room for them in the guest room. Nearby, shepherds were living in the fields guarding their sheep at night. The Lord's angel stood before them. The Lord's glory shone all around, and they were terrified. The angel said, "Don't be afraid. Look, I bring good news to you. Wonderful, joyous news for all people. Your Savior is born today in David's city. He is Christ the Lord. And this is a sign for you. You will find a newborn baby wrapped snugly and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great assembly of the heavenly forces was with the angel praising God. They said, "Glory to God in heaven, and on earth, peace among those whom he favors." That is God's word for us this morning. And I pray that God would add his blessing to the reading of the word, and that the Spirit would give us ears to hear what God wants to say to us this morning. Amen and amen. Well, a woman brought a very lame duck into a veterinarian surgeon. As she laid her pet on the table, the vet pulled out his stethoscope and listened to the bird's chest. After a moment or two, the vet shook his head and sadly said, "I'm sorry, your duck Cuddles has passed away." The distressed woman wailed, "Are you sure?" "Yes, I'm sure." "Your duck is dead," replied the vet. "How can you be so sure?" she protested. "I mean, you haven't done any testing on him or anything. He might be in a coma or something." The vet kind of rolled his eyes and turned around and left the room. He returned a few moments later with a black Labrador retriever. As the duck owner looked in amazement, the dog stood on his hind legs and put his front paws on the examination table and sniffed the duck from top to bottom. And then he looked up at the vet with sad eyes, and the dog shook his head. The vet patted the dog on the head and took it out of the room. A few minutes later, he returned with a cat, and the cat jumped up on the table and delicately sniffed the bird from head to foot. And the cat sat back on its hunches, shook its head, meowed softly, and strolled out the room. The vet looked at the woman and said, "I'm sorry, but as I said, this is most definitely 100% certifiable, a dead duck." The vet turned to his computer terminal, hit a few keys, and printed out the bill, to which he handed to the woman. The duck owner, still in shock, took the bill. $150, she cried. $150 just to tell me my duck is dead? The vet shrugged his shoulders and said, I'm sorry. If you had taken my word for it, the bill would have been $20. But with the lab report and the CAT scan, it's now $150. Yeah. I want to talk to you this morning about hold on to peace. And using this one, and don't let go. You know what tension is like during the holidays. The lists, the deadlines, the family blow-ups, the long lines at the store while shopping, which end up making us late for other things that we need to get to. And all this pent-up emotion is released on some poor random person that we meet or on a family member we love. I think we know the tension between what we often face during the holidays and the peace that we hear proclaimed during the Advent season. And this morning, I want to let you know we're not strangers to that. Because in our story this morning, we're going to see that in the midst of the craziness and the chaos and the tension on that first Christmas, if I can use that term, that they face some things too. Let's look at it this morning for a moment. First of all, I want to talk to you about missing peace. Missing peace. You know, it's easy to think we are missing peace when we face conflicts or tensions in life or situations around the holidays. I know sometimes, and I've been there, I've gone through it, I've experienced it. You're like, this is Christmas. We're together. We're exchanging gifts. Why are we fighting? Have you ever been there? Three things our readings tell us this morning. See if you can identify a little bit. First of all, baby Jesus was born amid tensions. Mary, as both Luke and Matthew tell us, was betrothed to Joseph. That means she was engaged, but it means more than that. She was engaged because her family or their families had set up an arranged marriage for the benefit, mutual benefit of both parties in this situation. We don't understand that because we live in America where we make our own choices and everything. But in first century Israel, a lot of marriages were arranged like that for various reasons. And Mary was betrothed, and while she was betrothed, that's when she discovered she was pregnant. Can you imagine it? Now, let me give you the blunt of it. Just like in some Middle Eastern countries to this day, if I'm engaged to a woman and the families find out she's pregnant and I'm not the father, do you know what they might do with her? Kill her. Yep, stone her, whatever they would do. And in first century, it was the same way. Can you imagine the tension? Can you imagine that when she had to go to Joseph and tell him she was pregnant? Now, we don't know all the details, but Matthew indicates Joseph planned to break off their arranged marriage until an angel intervened. Baby Jesus was born amid tensions. Second, baby Jesus slept in a feeding trough. In a feeding trough. Tax time had come, and Joseph and Mary made a difficult and painful 3-day trek to Bethlehem because they needed to go to the city from which his family line came, and that was the city of David. Luke tells us Mary gave birth to her firstborn child, a son, wrapped him up snugly, as I read there earlier, and laid him in a feeding trough because there was no place for them in the guest room. Okay, contrary to our children's Christmas stories, they weren't looking for an inn or a hotel or motel to spend the night. Most likely, Joseph and Mary had made arrangements to stay with Joseph's family, who probably still lived in that area. And houses in the first century were usually one of two types. Either it was one big house with one floor. The center of the house that you came into was where everybody kind of lived and ate and functioned normally. There was a bedroom and a guest room. And then off to the left, or one of the sides of the house, you step down a little, and that's where the animals and livestock lived for the night. And they could just walk over to the end of their living room, I'm going to put it in our terms, and feed their animals without having to go outside during the night. The other scenario is they might have a house where the center is the living area, the family lived. They might have an upper deck or a roof that they lived and hung out with during that time. And then also right there was where the family lived. This is the picture of what's going on. So when it says there's no room in the guest house, probably, and here's a good chance, there may have been other family members that were related to Joseph that came to do the tax work too, get their taxes and census thing taken care of. It was all filled up and they didn't have anywhere to go. So guess where they slept? And here you thought you were the only one that had to sleep in the barn at one time or another. I remember sleeping in barns before. Right there. And they didn't have any place to put Jesus, so they put him in the feeding trough where the animals eat. And that's where he laid for the night. Jesus slept in a feeding trough. Third thing, baby Jesus escaped death. Now, this is probably about a year or so more than what our little kids' Christmas programs. Because Matthew tells us, and well, I didn't read that this morning, but Matthew tells us in chapter 2 that Jesus had reached about somewhere between a year and 2 years old. And that's when the wise men showed up. And because they gave them the gold sense, frankincense, and myrrh, but they were also warned by the wise men that Herod had found out that a king, a baby, had been born, and he didn't want that kingly baby to grow up and replace him as ruler. So he went out and made sure that those between 1 and 2 years old, or 2 years and under, were killed in that area. Well, we know what happens. An angel came and told Joseph in a dream, you need to escape and go to Egypt for a while so that Jesus can be protected. And thankfully, that's what happened. Listen to those. Born among tensions. We know what it's like to face tensions sometimes in life, don't we? We know when things aren't going our way. We know when things happen that make our stomachs turn on the inside and our minds whirl through the night where we can't sleep. We know what, well, I don't know if we know what it's like to sleep in a feeding trough, but I've slept in a barn before. But I've never had to escape death, though. Where? Talk about missing peace. This is the story that we sometimes don't hear about what Jesus faced. Take some joy this morning. You're not the only ones that go through tensions. Even Mary, Joseph, and Jesus went through tensions in that first time. Where was peace? Well, here's the thing I want you to hear this morning. What they didn't know was peace was with them. Just like peace is here with us today. Sometimes when we are in the midst of all the chaos and the tension of life, we too forget that peace is with us. Peace is here today with us right now where we're seated at. No matter what we're going through, what we're facing. And the good news of Advent is peace on earth is possible with Jesus. Or with Jesus, peace on earth is possible. That's what I want you to see with Jesus. Jesus was with them. Yes, he was a baby, or yes, he was a young kid, but still, peace was with them. Something about Jesus, listen to me, something about Jesus born in a land occupied by foreign oppressors. That's how they referred to the Romans. Out of a scandalous pregnancy, regulated to a feed trough, somehow that little baby is the answer to peace on earth. You know, it's so easy for us to give up on peace when we insist on our own way. It's so easy to give up on peace when we've been harmed or hurt, or trust has been broken or lost, and we find ourselves aching on the inside. And yet, in spite of all of that, the good news of Advent reminds us, when we extend the grace and mercy of Jesus, peace is possible. Whoa, wait a minute. You're telling me that I need to extend Jesus' grace and mercy to that one who hurt me? That one who ruined my life? That one that tried to, whatever, fill in the blank? Listen, I want you to hear this morning. I'm so thankful that God, or that in God's relationship with humanity, God saw fit to offer us peace and grace and mercy, which we needed so much. God didn't send a warrior to punish us. God sent a child, his son, to love us and show us a better way. And peace comes when we hold on to Jesus, when we see and hear others the way Christ sees and hears us, and when we decide being right isn't as important as extending his grace and mercy. Hold on to Jesus. Hold on to peace. And don't let go. Amen. Amen. Well, let's just take a few moments this morning and share the blessing of the Lord with one another. Take a few moments and greet one another. And then we'll close out with our hymn there, Away in the Manger, this morning. If you'd like to use the hymn book this morning, And if you're able, you can stand and join with us as we sing that lovely little hymn, Away in the Manger. We're going to sing all three verses this morning. Away in the manger, no crib for a bed. The little Lord Jesus lay down his sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where he lay. The little Lord Jesus asleep on the join together for our benediction. The light of peace has shined.
Even the smallest acts of peace illuminate that highway.
May our light shine before others that they may know the peace of God. Go in peace. Amen.